This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
This is Spike Lee, and the Michael K. Show starts now. 98.7 ESPN.
Thank you, Spike, and a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K. Show. Well, thank you for joining us on this Tuesday. It's May 11th. It's 2021. Michael K., Don LaGreca, Peter Rosenberg. We're apart, but we're together for the next 4.5 hours. And the other 19 and a half, that's your responsibility. Although I'm told that the other 19 are your responsibility. Why? Because once again, the Don Show after this one from 6:30 to 7.
There's a special Don Show?
I heard there's a Don Show all week.
Is that true?
Well, tomorrow's up in the air because there's a few things in play here. But definitely Thursday and Friday.
Have you ever turned down airtime? Ever?
Why would he?
Wait a minute. Why can't it just be they needed me and I said yes? You think I was motivated by more airtime? Believe me, 6:30 comes, dinner's waiting. But I was asked. I do enjoy it. I got a great response on Friday when I did it. The fans enjoyed it. Extend the show, leading into Larry and Gordon, two people that I really respect. But they asked me to do a favor, and I said yes, because I'm very accommodating. Why can't it be that? Why does it have to be on-air whore?
Excuse me? Now, I have to report something important here.
Please. I don't know if you could top OAW, but please.
I was just taking a shower.
In that new tub.
In that beautiful bath fitter tub.
Yeah. You sounded more clean today.
You can sense it, can't you?
More cleaner.
And I was washing areas that needed to be washed. And on my inner thigh, I felt a bite of some sort. That is so big that I thought I had grown another limb.
Oh, I was going to say, it sounds like the relationship's progressing nicely.
Excuse me?
Well, Don's really shot out of a cannon
today. Well, he just said he had this huge bite. Michael, I could think of worse things.
Oh, but, oh, you know. I didn't even get it. No, that's actually cute. No. And I'm a little... So if you notice that I start turning into a spider as the show goes on, or a vampire, please call the authorities immediately.
Wouldn't it be great, though, if you were bit by a spider and you became Spider-Man? I would sign up for that. There's nothing wrong with Spider-Man. There's no negative to be Spider-Man. Nothing.
No, that's true. You don't have to do the job if you don't want to.
No, you could just do it for kicks.
But what if you felt you had to get the web out all the time?
I don't think the comic or the movies really address the negativity and the side effects of radioactive blood. They really focused on the positive, but I'm sure there's some negatives, right?
I don't think there's any negative.
Who could I talk to about this?
Well, Peter Parker.
Well.
And MJ.
My dad?
No. Your dad's MJ?
Yeah, it's my dad's name.
MJ.
You didn't know till right now that my dad's name was MJ?
I thought his name was Mike.
Yeah, but he's known as MJ.
I have no idea.
Yep. MJ
Did
Rosenberg.
Did you send along Mother's Day wishes to your mom that I sent?
You know, listen, I told you my mother was upset with you.
Right. She'll get over it. Did you say it or not?
I'm seeing her tomorrow, so I'm going to tell her in person. But it was very funny because I was with Natalie, my girl, when you sent me the text. Mm-hmm. And she had heard the whole narrative of my mom being mad at you. And I went, oh, this is nice. Michael sent a text that I should wish a happy Mother's Day to the Mindaroo. And Natalie, no hesitation, knowing you so well already, goes, obviously trying to get back in her good graces. Wow. And I was like, oh, that's right. He's trying to make amends.
Now I'm going to tell you why. Natalie and you can go poop in a hat, okay? Because Don, did I also say happy Mother's Day to Nancy and your mom?
You sure did.
All right, so I'm not trying to patch up anything with your mom. I'm just being a good human being.
Yeah. Just listen, when the good happens, we should acknowledge it.
You know what?
So what do you think the completion percentage is for tell so-and-so I said hello.
That's a great point by Don. What's the percentage on that? Oh, my God.
Percentage.
Hold on. Give so-and-so my love or my regards, Don.
Tell the family I said hello.
Under 3% success.
Well, I mean, did you call your mother for Mother's Day?
Who?
You.
Of course. What am I, an animal?
You couldn't have just said, oh, by the way, Michael sends his regards.
Tell your mom I said hello.
No, that's my bad. That's my fault. But I'm going to see her tomorrow.
Whenever something like that happens, whenever it's, hey, to tell the family I said hello, give a kiss for me. You know, tell the family we're thinking about. What is the completion percentage? Peter has it at 3%.
I don't have your mom's number, so I can't call her.
Right, but I'm saying is that when you do that,
right,
what was your anticipation of it?
I thought it would be 100. If somebody said to me, like you said, tell Jody, you said tell Jody, and I told Jody. It's 100%.
Really?
I'm a responsible person, yes.
Now, what about, Don, how often do you think it gets completed when someone says, give your undercarriage a little how's your father? What about that? How often?
Zero.
Now, before we move on to the Knicks, who are playing a pretty big game tonight, I got to I'm all cards on the table with the three of us, right?
Sure, that's how it works.
So you, I guess on Instagram, you had some picture of your, girl. Can I say girlfriend? Is that the proper?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah, girlfriend, sure.
Well, I'm not talking about Nancy.
Well, I got to tell you, if you had asked that on the radio to Don, it would have really answered the question for you. I mean, you can't ask someone, can I mention your girlfriend on the air if they're married? But yes, go ahead.
All right, so you had some kind of a shot of her and her dog.
Correct.
And you also had her handle.
Right.
I started to go down a rabbit hole, and I'm quite impressed. Let's just leave it at that.
What are you, Dave?
I went to her site.
Her Instagram page.
Her Instagram page, and I started to peruse the many pictures she has up.
Diana,
and let me just tell
you
something.
Lurking.
Wow.
Wait, hold on, but real quick. Hold on. Natalie is a renowned photographer, and most of her page are just incredibly impressive photos of New York.
No, I assume that there's pictures of her too.
So just to be clear,
because
I've seen New York before. Yeah. I've kind of lived here my whole life.
Empire State Building, swipe. Central Park, swipe.
Bikini. Stay.
Don, I got to tell you, he has surpassed Dave Rothenberg. Because
Diana, I have been lurking.
Because if you go to Natalie's page, she's at Miss Hatton, M-I-S-S Hatton. Don, you'll be inundated with just amazing portraits. That's how she developed a following. You can find her, but you got to like scroll a while to really even see her face.
I scrolled.
Wow.
A lot of body shots, a lot of face shots.
Not a lot. There's barely any.
There's enough for the scrolling, I'll tell you that.
Wow.
And I did some heavy scrolling.
You really are a sick animal. I just have to say that.
What do you want me to say? I never met the woman, so I want to get to know her better. And I got to know her better.
But I just, Don, I want to be clear. Every single person in my life who has went to her Instagram
gone
page.
Gone to her. Gone
who
to
has
her.
Gone to oh. at Miss Hatton. They all come back to me and go, oh my God, Natalie is so talented.
Right.
I can't believe her work.
Okay.
He is the only creep who's saying what he's saying. Only one.
First of all, I didn't know she was a photographer. I thought she took pictures of buildings. Good. Yawn. I was looking for her.
You didn't. Don, you got to go to the page here, please. I need you to really, you're not able to register yet how bad a guy he is. I need you to go so you can see like what we're talking about.
He has registered it.
Wow. All right. You know what? Let's move on to the Knicks. This is in a word.
Troubling.
That's troubling doesn't even cut it.
The Michael Kay Show on 98.7 ESPN is brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years. Is there a picture of her on that site with a bikini?
Yeah, on her IG page.
Well, there you go.
I don't know where it is. I mean.
I think it's 20 and a half.
All right, wait a minute. Wait. Just give me a second, all right? That length of time it took for me to realize she's a professional photographer.
How long was that, Don? Was that the whole time?
Yeah, that whole moment of silence. I mean,
it was that.
I'm three pictures in. What else could you possibly think?
It's only the page of a professional
mind. Now, what I think happened was, knowing Michael as well as I do, one, two, three, four, fifth post, if you go to media, all right, there's a silhouette of her. Now he's intrigued. Now he's just mowing through what are some gorgeous photos.
Wait, yep. Are you at her website or her Instagram?
No, I'm on her Twitter.
Oh, on her Twitter. You got to go to her Instagram.
Maybe it was Twitter that I was on.
I think you were on Twitter because you're following
me.
But even on Twitter, Peter, the first six, seven pictures, they're gorgeous. These are professional.
She's the real deal.
But then he gets intrigued, and now the troll begins.
Wow. I thought Dave was bad. And to think you called out Dave on this airwave about this, this is much worse.
What's worse about it? First of all, if she doesn't want to be looked at, she shouldn't put those
pictures. Hold on. I didn't say she didn't want to be looked at.
Did. I did exactly what she wanted. I didn't do anything wrong.
But no, but the way you're describing it is if she's a bikini model. She's clearly and decidedly a photographer.
Okay, fine. So what do you want me to do?
I just want you to understand that you're a bad guy.
Pamela Anderson is clearly an actress, but, you know, there are other things to look at with her, too.
Wow. You know what? Let's move on.
You could find a compliment in there, Peter.
Oh, no. Sure. It's in there, you know. It's there. There's some disconcerting things as well.
Feel like doing a thirst trap. Okay, so this is, I think Mike Vaccaro narrowed it down. This is the first important Knicks-Laker game in L.A. since Game 5 of 1973's championship. That's how long it's been. And you could not have gotten odds on the Knicks and the Lakers being 38 and 30 on this date. There's no way.
Nope.
There's no way that any Vegas odds maker would have put odds on that because it's impossible to have even envisioned that that would happen. Forget about the Knicks being 38 and 30. These are the defending champion Lakers. LeBron never gets hurt. Now he's hurt. And that's why they're 38 and 30 and they're on the outside looking in. Right now, if the season ended, they would be a play-in team. So there's two things that could happen today for the Knicks to celebrate making the playoffs. The Celtics without Tatum are playing the Heat before the Knicks take the floor in L.A. So if the Celtics lose, then the Knicks with a win, they completely clinch.
You mean without Jaylen Brown.
Who did I say?
You said Tatum. You meant Brown.
All right, Jaylen Brown. Sorry. So if the Celtics lose and the Knicks take the court, they know if they win, they've clinched to number six. So there's no play-in for them. Obviously, they have higher aspirations than number six. They'd like to be the number four seed. This way, they host a playoff series. They get the game seven in their building. I get all that. But it's just inconceivable what has happened over this season to get to this point where they both have the exact record and both teams exactly need to win. And it's funny, everything that LeBron argues about the play-in, takes place tonight. If they're the seventh seed, they have no chance of falling out to the ninth seed. None. If they're the seventh seed, they're not even playing LeBron. They're probably not even playing Anthony Davis.
That's right.
So this makes this game really important, and it does exactly what the NBA wants it to do. So for LeBron to say whoever came up with this idea should be fired, I'm going to say whoever came up with this idea should be given a raise.
Promoted, yeah.
Promoted. It's wrong. Anyway, that's what should be happening. So now there's some up and down about whether or not LeBron's playing. It's been reported that he's playing, but on the sheet that they give to the NBA says that he's out. He's got to play.
Well, if he doesn't play, Michael, it's because he can't. Right? If he doesn't play, it's because he can't. He's not being rested. It's not load management. It's not we don't care about the game. If he can't play, that means he can't play.
I would, but it's also, I thought he was almost definitively back tonight.
Yeah, I did too, but then what they sent to the NBA was out. Even Mark Berman of the Post tweeted out there's supposed to be a transparency. Why would they say that when everybody knows he's going to play?
Are we all on the same page? I think we are. On this show, all three of us really, really love LeBron, but also see that he's got a little bit of something in him sometimes. It's just annoying.
I don't see that. I love him unequivocally.
That's not true. You've said it before. You said it last
there's little things I'll pick and choose, but I don't think he has a little something in him.
But this what about thing with the play-in is complete.
What about his crying about the play-in?
Well, I don't like that because I think he's being selfish. But when you're that great, to have that small a level of selfishness, I'll take it. I'll take it.
Of course. Absolutely. Yeah.
But you're looking at it too narrow. Like the selfishness of the moment. But he understands the eyeballs are on him. He understands everything he says is filed away someplace. You can't have the opinion of, oh, it's great when the little guys are there battling when you're sitting there on top. And then think that we all forgot that when now you're one of the little guys. And that I don't know, that bothers me. You know, okay. So you're entitled to kind of think for yourself. I mean, we all have a little bit of that in us, but did he completely forget what he said when they were battling with the one seed and he thought it was cute that these adorable little teams have something to battle for? And now he's one of the cute, adorable teams and doesn't want to have it because they'd be locked in and now have to fight and work a little harder?
Well, he gets caught up in his own words sometimes. Remember last year, I'd never play a game without fans. And he won a championship without fans.
You know what? When you're that big a superstar and everything that you said gets filed away, you don't have the luxury to have that contradiction in you. I'm sorry. Too many people are paying attention. There may be some players and there's maybe some people that can afford to do that and it's not going to bother them. But for a smart guy like him that understands his significance and uses his significance to better the sport, then I don't think you're allowed to drop the ball like that. I'm sorry. Now, it doesn't make him a bad guy. No, it doesn't mean I hate him. No, but I think the criticism is very warranted here. Very warranted.
That he ripped the play-in?
Yeah, and when also, you know, demanding a person's job. I mean, come on. You could say I don't like it and just say you had a change of heart or now I'm looking at it from a different perspective and I don't like this. But to make the idea just seem so ridiculous when you almost wanted to take credit for it a couple of years ago. Now, that's a little much.
Well, let's not lose sight of the bigness of the game for the Knicks. Whether or not LeBron is playing or not, I believe he will play, and I like the fact that he's going to play. What the Knicks did against the Clippers, I think, made the Lakers take notice. I know Anthony Davis mentioned it, and this will give him an opportunity to play against his former teammate in New Orleans, Julius Randle. He didn't get a chance to do that in New York because he was hurt. And Julius Randle, it's funny. Everybody wants to hang their hat on some kind of like a slight. And Julius Randle is still upset that the Lakers, you know, didn't extend his contract. Well, if they extend his contract, there'd be no LeBron James. How'd it work out for them? So yeah, if you want to compartmentalize everything into your own little world and say, gee, why didn't they bring me back? They didn't bring you back because they were clearing cap space for LeBron James. That's why they didn't bring you back.
And they do it again.
And they would do it again and again and again and again because that's the only move to make. And the Knicks would have done the same thing. So Julius Randle has shown that he's an outstanding player, so much so that Charles Barkley was on with KJZ today, and this is what he talked about when he spoke about Julius Randle.
Julius Randle is clearly the most improved player. That ship has sailed like 2 months ago. I would vote for him second team all NBA. He's been fabulous all year. I actually think he's probably in the top five for MVP. Listen, Julius Randle should be in that conversation. What he's done this entire year in New York, Randle is the most improved by far. He's knocking on the door to first team all NBA.
That's how good he's been.
Wow.
I don't think he's going to be first team. He'll probably be third team. But, I mean, that's not an incremental jump that he's made. Last year, looked like the Knicks' three-year contract that they signed him to was a complete waste of money. Now it's a complete bargain. Now they have to make the decision, well, when do we extend him? Because if they extend him after this year, they could get him for a lot cheaper than if they wait until after the third year. Then it's going to cost real big money. And if you're Julius Randle, do you want to wait or would you take the extension this year? Which leads us to another thing. You know, we were proponents of the Knicks getting Russell Westbrook. And last night he set a record that people didn't think was going to be broken, the all-time record for triple-doubles previously held by Oscar Robertson. But in order to get Russell Westbrook, I think they would have had to include Julius Randle in the deal. And as much as I would have loved Russell Westbrook to be here, I'm not sure that the Knicks would have been better. I mean, we don't know how Westbrook would take to Thibodeau's coaching. If you had Westbrook here, there would be no Derrick Rose. I think that this Knicks season broke the way it broke in a perfect way. Because if they had pulled the trigger on a possible Westbrook deal, you have to include Randle to make the money work. I think the Knicks are a better team now, even without Westbrook, than they would have been with a great Westbrook who's proven that he's still great, but without Randle, and we don't know how Westbrook and Thibs would have actually meshed. So some of the best deals you make are the best deals you don't make. So that's the way you have to look at it, as great as Westbrook has been. Now, would I have loved to see Westbrook and Julius Randle, and that meant that there would be no Derrick Rose? Yeah. Then I think the Knicks would have had a chance to do some damage in the playoffs. Because when you have two great players, the Knicks don't have two great players. They have Julius Randle. They have R.J. Barrett, who's getting better. They don't have another great player. Westbrook's a great player. So if Randle took this jump that he did this year and you had Westbrook on the team, then you're talking about a team that could knock off anybody. I really believe that. They could knock off anybody. But tonight, all they have to do is knock off the Lakers, have the Heat knock off the Celtics, and boom, celebration time. They're in the playoffs. I don't know how you guys feel. I think the play-in teams are in the playoffs, too. I really do.
You're counting that?
I do count that because I count it. You know, baseball's going to have one-game wild cards. They're in the playoffs. And they're one and done. The 7-8, you know, you can lose a game in the 7-8 matchup and then wait to see who wins the 9-10, and then you play again. You're in the playoffs.
No. If I don't know.
I can't consider
it's not permanent, right? I think it will be. But this was an add-on. I don't know how to feel about it.
To me, it's like
NHL last year, they added the qualifying round because there were not everybody played the same amount of games when they halted things during the pandemic, and they did not consider the qualifying round you in the playoffs. It was postseason because it wasn't regular season, but you had to win that to get into the playoffs.
Right.
And I kind of look at the same thing here. You have to win this to get into the playoffs. So it's a postseason game, but it's not a playoff game, if that makes sense.
I'm looking at these as playoff games.
Okay. If you're the Lakers and you lose both games, you lose the 7-8 and then you lose to the winner of the 9-10.
Right.
You consider that you were in the playoffs last year?
You lost in the playoffs.
I feel like they didn't even make the tournament.
No.
No, that's because you're looking at it from a Laker view.
Well, what do they call it? No, what do they call this?
They're calling it a play-in.
Play into what?
I don't know if it's called play into the playoffs. I don't know if there's
a name
to it.
It's play into,
listen.
It is. It's play in, meaning playing into the playoffs.
But,
and
okay,
you play yourself out of the playoffs.
If,
so
if you're in the NCAA and you're 65, 66, 67, 68, and you have the play-in game, you're in the tournament.
Yeah,
that's
but,
the way I'm looking at it. You're an NCAA team.
But here's the problem with that. It's still the same format. It's one game. You know, you're not even playing an actual – like series, it's something. I understand what you said with the wild card, but the wild card's permanent, right? So you're in the playoffs. This is a play into the play. I think it's something different. I think that's what it is. I really think the way they should word it is you're in the postseason, meaning you're out of the regular season, but you are not technically in the playoffs. You're in that no man's land
to determine
whether you're good enough to make the playoffs or not.
See, the wild card is not the same. The wild card, you are in the playoffs. That's part of the tournament. This is a play-in to make a series. The NBA playoffs are based on series of games. This, you're not in a series yet. You're playing to make a series.
But the wild card is the same thing because it's one game.
But yeah, but everything's one game.
The 7-8 team is going to play two teams. The 7-8 guy that loses is going to play another game.
But
so
that's still
is that
okay.
A series?
Hold on. But Don, first of all, real quick, the football comparison. Everything in the football tournament's one game. So this is just another round.
Right, that's why I mentioned the same thing with the NCAA tournament. But in baseball, you play the one game then to advance to a best of five.
I always consider that halfway making the playoffs. I said that about the Mets a couple years ago.
I would have
ago.
No problem with that. If you wanted to say that the wild card loser didn't make the playoffs, I'd be okay with that too. Because it's a play-in.
In which sport? In baseball?
In baseball.
In baseball, yes.
I think
I'm
baseball
fine with
and basketball should rejigger the whole thing. You've made the postseason, but this is to determine whether you actually make the playoffs.
Mm.
Because it's different. The format is different.
Well, but do you consider 65 through 68 NCAA teams?
Only because they are playing one game just like then advancing to play another game. Like the format doesn't change. The format changes here. The wild card, you play one game and then you move on to a best of five. This one, you're playing one, possibly two games in the play-in for the NBA to move on to a best of seven. There's a definite line between what's happening on the 18th and what's going to happen on the 22nd, right? On May 18th, you're going to see four teams battle for the right to go to the playoffs. Now, obviously, it's not the regular season, but it's also not the playoffs. So you got to call it something else, right?
Well, it's not part of the 72-game schedule. I think after that, you're a playoff team.
Right.
You're
so
saying
that's
you're a postseason team.
It was for the like in the NHL record books for that 1 year, and they never went back to it, and they'll never go back to it again. But because of the way the pandemic was structured, the qualifying round, you were considered in the postseason because it wasn't the regular season, but you weren't considered a playoff team if you lost. And why can't you do that? You played in the postseason, but you weren't really in the playoffs.
To respond to one thing Michael said earlier, though, let me just be clear: if you're a Wizards fan, you're thrilled about getting in.
Right.
Obviously, you went from not having a chance at competing to now having a chance to get into the playoffs. But you don't consider that a playoff run. If they go in and lose the 9-10 game and go home, you're happy you made it and you got something, but it's not
all right, so
a playoff.
Let me ask you guys something. If this new play-in thing is a forever thing, did you make the playoffs next year?
No, I think that you just add a third category.
But
regular
season.
How unfair
season. Is that? Because if you finished 7th or 8th this year, you would have made the playoffs. So now you're going to say you're not in the playoffs because of a concoction they came up with? That's not fair either.
Well, well, 7 or 8 you came up with the concoction.
Well, you know the 7 or 8, though, they do have – I think 7 or 8 are considered playoff and 9 and 10, no. Because the 7 and 8 have an advantage. It's double elimination for the 7 and 8.
All right, let's take a brief time out. We got a lot of stuff to do. I've got to look through Instagram again. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Now let's get right to the phones. Big game tonight, and we'll have it right here on 98.7. And the Nets are playing the Bulls, and we'll see if I don't think Harden's going to play tonight. He'll probably play tomorrow against the Spurs. So the Nets have two back-to-backs left this season. So I think the best you're going to get is see Harden in two of them because they're not going to play him in both ends of a back-to-back, and then they'll get to see what the big three and Blake Griffin looks like together. You know, one Net, I forget who said it in the post today, said it's going to be very hard for teams to plan for us because they don't exactly know how we're going to divvy up the shots or you know, set plays. And the Nets don't even know either.
No.
So how can you plan for them?
So that balances it out, right? The lack of unknown is a disadvantage to both sides.
Yeah, but I think they could figure it out on the run. You know, I don't know if the defense could. At the most, though, Don, it would be a disadvantage for a game. Then they'll figure it out after one game. It's not like they're in the play-in tournament, which you guys don't think is a playoff. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Nitty in South Orange. Start her off.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. For what it's worth, I guess I do consider it a playoff. If you want to get technical with it, I guess maybe, you know, with Don was saying, or Peter, maybe it's not. But I think, you know, the parameters that are set are – you get past the regular season now, you're facing off against other teams that are trying to now have the same common goal of making it as far as you can. So, my question is really about the Knicks and moving forward after this year, right? So, you know, you guys talked about recalibrating expectations. I actually called in last week and I kind of was against what you guys were saying about being really disappointed if they were to fall. The reason I kind of considered it sort of still an accomplishment regardless of kind of what happens from here, is the expectations is now going to be set way higher next year. And I feel like this is the last time you can really enjoy what the Knicks are doing before the expectations really get real and they have to do something. So I was wondering, sorry, go ahead.
But that's self-imposed, isn't it? Like, why can the expectations go up starting next year, but they can't go up now?
I don't know. As a fan, I don't want to set myself up for disappointment.
Well, that's
you know,
the answer.
Who knows how many years it could be for the next few years.
Let me ask you a question, Nitty. If the Knicks play the Hawks in the first round and lose to the Hawks, will you be disappointed?
Yeah, I'll be a little bit disappointed. I'm not going to lie.
Well, then you, even though you don't want to admit it, have recalibrated. Because if I asked you at the beginning of the season, if the Knicks lost in the 4-5 round, would you be disappointed? You go, no. They'd be the fourth seed in the East, so you've recalibrated.
But he admitted it. He said the reason why he doesn't want to recalibrate the expectations is he doesn't want to be disappointed. I don't think you can be afforded that luxury, right? Like he said, the expectations are going to go up next year. Well, if they can go up next year, why wouldn't they go up now? They clearly are not the team they were at the beginning of the year. They clearly weren't that 27-win team or whatever the Vegas predicted them to be. So the only reason you don't want to recalibrate is you're afraid to get hurt. Well, I'm sorry. That's not the way fans are supposed to be. Because then if that's the case, then don't even recalibrate the expectations for next year either, and that way you don't have to worry about getting hurt.
Remember,
part of
the
daring to dream is daring to possibly get hurt.
Remember the song Joey wrote about you? Do not be afraid to
That's
love
right.
again. Dom LaGreca, stand by your team. Because he used to always pick against the Giants.
Understandably.
Yeah.
He's a smart man.
No, but also
they were making
it was,
the playoffs then.
Michael understood the game that I was playing with myself, okay?
Excuse me?
And yes, I did say that. Is that I pick against the Giants, and that if I'm wrong, yeah, I lose, but I get the benefit of my favorite team winning. So either way, I can find something out of it.
Oh, yeah, sure, I know that game.
But you don't want – but if you dare to really think that your team – like, see, Knick fans want it both ways. Like, the Knick fans – and I'm sure you're getting the tweets, too. I'm getting abused on Twitter. Why are you killing my team? What, because I thought they'd lose to the Nets? That means I'm killing them? So they want the expectations to be high, so we talk about them, but then they've already set up this whole, like, soft landing spot where if they do lose, well, I didn't expect to win anyway. Well, what game are you playing here? If you're gonna be that guy who thinks they're going to make a run, had a guy on Twitter today, I think we're built to make a run. Well, then that means if you think they can make a run and they don't, then you should be disappointed. Right?
Yep.
So you can't play the game of I'm with them until they lose, and then when they lose, oh, I never expect anything anyway. That's not being a fan. A fan means that you're out there to get your heart completely ripped out for the one possibility that doesn't happen, and that way you can enjoy it that much more. The reason you run around like a lunatic and eat poop in Philadelphia is because of all the years that you were hurt. But you don't get to play the game of I can't wait to celebrate, but if we don't win – hey, my expectations were low anyway. I wasn't expecting to win. No. That's not being a good fan.
Let's go to Frank in Red Bank. Frank.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen.
What's up?
A couple points. One Knicks-related, one Peter's girlfriend-related, because as you were talking, I had to go onto the Instagram page. Mm. And, Peter, I think you understate how easy it is to see pictures of Natalie on her Instagram page that clearly just show that she is a smoke show. So to Michael's point, yeah, it wasn't that hard to find, but she's also a very talented photographer.
Oh, but Michael admitted that he was trolling Peter's girlfriend, which if you don't find uncomfortable is
wait,
a, is
wait, why did you make it sound dirty? I wanted to see what Peter's girlfriend looks like. I have never met her.
Well, think about what you just said. I want to see what she looks like.
Right, and then I want to meet her and see what she's about. But all that's available to me, I don't think there's any like tapes of her speaking.
Here's the equivalent.
So
here is the non-social media equivalent of what you did. All right? Is that if you met Peter's girlfriend, I'm sorry, what her name again is?
Natalie.
Natster.
No.
Hey, honey, turn around for me. Give me a twirl.
That's
the same thing. It's the same, and
would
you're not that guy.
That?
You're
no,
not that guy.
I wouldn't do that.
Well, that's the same thing. Peter, he's checking out every angle on social media. That's the luxury of social media. Back in 1967 was, give me a twirl, honey.
No, Frank, you're right, because you don't have to be a detective to see exactly.
Oh. Okay,
know,
okay, okay.
She's an attractive lady.
A few photos down, you could see a picture. I mean, it wasn't.
Look, there's a picture Yes is showing right now. She's a beautiful woman.
First of all, I agree. She is beautiful, and that's fine. I'm all here for it. The point that Don and I think are trying to make here is that if you were to go to like, you know, the page of some internet model, yes, instantaneously you go, oh, I couldn't help. I had to see what was there. The only point is, I just looked at her Instagram page. It's 19 pictures before you even see her. I'm not saying that's hard to find, but the way you described it was as if that's the focal point of her page. And I would say that more so than most people, the focal point of her page is decidedly not her.
Please, Frank, go on.
Peter's
screaming into the wind. What's your other point, Frank?
Go ahead.
Regarding the Knicks, so I've been a Knicks fan since mid-'80s, since I was 13, 14. I'll be 48 this year. And this season has been beyond expectation of anything that I've seen in a long time. I love everything they're doing. And if they get in and they're one and done in the playoffs, which, by the way, I agree with Don and Peter, I think this is not the playoffs. This is play-in to get to the playoffs. But if they are one and done, even if they get swept, yeah, I'll be disappointed, but I'll see it as a building block of greater things to come for next year, and we'll be looking forward even more so to seasons to come. And
that's fair. Well,
that's a fair way
to put it. You can be disappointed, but when you look at the macro view, which is kind of a hip phrase now, then it's been a very positive season for them. They've turned themselves from constant losers, laughing stocks, clown show, into a viable franchise. That's a big step.
Yeah.
But I don't want them to lose to the Hawks. I don't know if they're going to play the Hawks. If they play the Bucks or the Nets and they lose, I'm fine. If they lose to the Hawks, I'd be ticked off.
Well, and the only reason you wouldn't be ticked off, Michael, is if you don't think they have a chance to beat the Hawks. But if you think they have a chance to beat them, then why wouldn't you be disappointed if you lost?
And, Don, if they finish fourth and then the Heat overtake the Hawks and the Heat are fifth, I wouldn't even be disappointed if they lose to the Heat. The Heat's better.
Well, it's all about how you feel, right? And the feeling that you go into a series, do you think you went, I think we're winning the series. I think we're a better team. Well, then you can't turn around and then lose and say, well, I'm not disappointed. You should be disappointed. That doesn't mean you blow the whole franchise up, that you can't appreciate what they've accomplished and then really look forward to next year. But in that moment, you lose that series, then you should be disappointed if you think they're going to win. The only reason you would not feel disappointment is if you thought they had no shot. And what Knicks fan would think they wouldn't have a shot against the Hawks?
Peter, I have a question to ask you, Pete.
I'm here.
Have we crashed Natalie's site yet?
No, I don't think you've crashed the site, but I hope people are checking out her wonderful photography.
Oh, they are. They're just a reaction on Twitter. They are.
And I'm always encouraging her to sell more prints because I think they are incredible. But I don't know if it's crashed yet. I think it's still.
Let's try to do that throughout the show. 1-800-919-3776. It's Kay LaGreca Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN. I always feel like
somebody's watching me. Oh, wow. I get it.
Did you see this? The Knicks are now a national draw on TV. They're on national TV tonight, TNT. But they were on ESPN against the Clippers on Sunday. Knicks-Clippers game drew 1.6 million viewers. It's the best ESPN NBA audience since February 28th and ESPN's fifth highest NBA game, excluding Christmas.
Why wouldn't it be? First of all, it's a great story, and it's a huge fan base.
But I got to tell you, though, that's a low number.
Peter, the NBA's got to be thrilled the Knicks are good again. Thrilled.
Well, yeah, as evidenced by the fact that even that number being so high this year is an indicator that numbers have not been great.
Yeah, they've needed this badly.
1.6. I didn't think that would be that high a rating for this year.
Tim Ramsdell, who listens to our show all the time, tweeted out, white bikini on a fire pit. I might miss CNN because I'm scrolling.
Wow. He went far down to find that one.
Yeah.
I remember that.
No, it's not that far.
Wow. You found it, too. I got to tell you.
What kind of steak was it? You seem like a bone-in guy.
I respect that you own just how much of a creep you are.
I'm not a creep at all. I'm being complimentary.
You are in the creepiest way possible.
I can't wait to meet Natalie and talk with her.
I wouldn't let that conversation happen, Peter.
Why?
You think I should block it at all costs?
Yeah.
It is. It is. There's. I mean, because I'm still waiting for you to say, like, wow, this one photo is remarkable. Wow, how does she? A lot of people ask, you know, how does she take these photos? Does she hang out of helicopters?
Yes,
she does.
The answer is yes.
Yes, she does. She hangs out of helicopters taking photos.
Peter,
pretty interesting.
I'm not an expert on photography. I wouldn't know a good picture from a bad one.
Come on.
So what am I going to sit here and be a phony and like?
Hold on, that's unbelievable.
What an exquisite photo. I have no idea.
That's unbelievable, Don. That the same man who manalizes everybody and can easily analyze how handsome a man is can't recognize a good photo when he sees one.
Because I'm a handsome man and I can realize when someone's handsome.
That's an interesting take.
Got it?
Yeah, makes perfect sense to me.
So right, the Y.A. Tittle photo, the Bobby Orr photo, they do nothing for you. You're not an expert, so you can't.
They're great photos, but I can't tell you, look at the way the shadows are. I have no idea. I wish I could be a better
photographer. Nobody's asking you to grade. Just these are great pictures.
I'm telling you, I went to her site because Peter put her site up. And I said to myself, I had no idea she was a photographer. I will go back tonight when I get home and look at her site again so I can examine her photos that she took. I did not know she was a photographer. Peter has never articulated that to me.
I haven't.
I didn't know it either.
No.
You didn't know that either, Don?
I did not know.
Andrew, did you know that Natalie was a photographer?
I did, yes.
Well, I didn't know, and that's my bad.
No, it's not your bad, because the only thing he's ever told us about her, while she's smoking hot. That's all he's ever said.
Well, he's never said, I did not know that either. I mean, I respect Peter's taste, but that's neither here nor there for me. If he's happy, then I'm happy.
Thank you, Don.
But it took three posts for me to see on Twitter.
Photographer.
That she was a professional photographer.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Three posts.
Nah, I'm sorry. I'm not that bright. Let's go to Darren in Mount Vernon. Darren.
How you guys doing? How you doing?
Good. Hey, about you?
I'm good, man. First, I want to say what's up to Peter, man. You got me onto the show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah, man. But anyway, I had a little take on that LeBron thing. I feel like LeBron made that comment about about liking to play in games originally because of the coronavirus, you know, and they had cut the season short.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why he had put that out there, that it was good at that time, but for them to continue it, you know. I don't want to sound like a LeBron apologist, but I believe that's why where he came from originally.
Well, That makes some sense, Darren, but, you know, people are still getting coronavirus. So the reason that they did that is to keep – it's not so much the reason that they have a 72-game season is to get back on their schedule because of what the coronavirus did last year. The reason they have four teams in a play-in is to get other people involved, other cities involved that might not have been involved in a shortened season by 10 games. They shaved 10 games off the season to make this work and then get back into their normal rotation. So for him to say, whoever thought of this should be fired, that's a bad look for LeBron. It's just an awful look. Why would he, even if he really, really believed that, LeBron James owns the world. He owns the world. Everybody who wants to be famous will want to be famous like LeBron James. And then you say that somebody who might be a worker bee in the NBA offices should be fired? That's an awful look. Pipe down. That's not what you should say. Somebody should be fired. In a world where everybody's losing their job and there's record unemployment, you're going to actually advocate for somebody being fired? Now, I know it was just a throwaway line, but as Don said earlier, everything LeBron says is important. He's got a huge following.
That's the price of fame, right? Like, he is an influencer. That's what he is. In every way, shape, or form, probably the biggest influencer in sports right now, especially in this country, is LeBron James. So he has to understand that what he says carries a tremendous amount of weight. Now, I don't know if he really wanted somebody fired. Maybe he was a bit tongue-in-cheek about it. I'm just talking about the hypocrisy of loving it one moment when you're way up battling for first place and don't care. And now you might have the embarrassment of falling there, where if you just kept it the old format, they'd be comfortably in. And by the way, he'd be resting tonight guaranteed if there was no play-in.
Absolutely.
And now he's upset about it. I'm trying to find the quote and exactly when it was, but I never got the sense that he loved it just because of the pandemic. I think he loved it because look at these guys, you know, getting a chance to battle to be in. Never dreaming in a million years he might be on a team that needs that.
Let's go to Mike in New Jersey. Mike.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. Love your show. All around, good job.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, of course. I just want to say one thing. So the thing about the Knicks season, they're on a magical run this year. It's been, you know, it's been awesome, a lot of fun. I got to say, if they lose, let's say, in the playoffs, I don't know if I look at that as a disappointing year. Like, yeah, of course I'll be upset. But looking back at a whole, I mean, I got to be, like, proud of them in a way. Like, you know, like, I look back at the 2015 Mets, you know, like, they didn't win the World Series. Bummed out about it. But at the end of the day, I got to look at that as a successful season, you know? Like, they weren't expected to go far.
But you know what? You said it perfectly. You could be disappointed in the result of the playoffs, but you can't be disappointed in the year. The year has been just tremendous. I mean, they brought joy back to watching the Knicks. They really have.
No, yeah, you can't be disappointed in the season.
The season's great. Even if they, if for some reason they tumbled into the play-in, it'd still be a great season. It would be a disappointing end to a season. But what they accomplished this year, oh, my goodness. Nobody expected this. Nobody. Vegas gets it right, what, 95% of the time? They had them at 22 over-under? They're 38 now.
I wonder how often Vegas gets it wrong by 15 or more games. Like, that cannot be common.
And that was with Thibodeau, right? That wasn't
before. Yeah.
They knew the coach.
They knew
that.
Be.
Yeah, I'd love to be able to see what's their worst differential in an over-under for wins.
I wonder if that's available, because that'd be a great, because I think this has to be up there to miss by the Knicks are probably going to win two more games. So they're going to miss by 18 games. The person who picked the over for 22, they're sitting pretty for the last 2 months.
It's unreal. Now, and can you imagine if they win tonight? And you
can't
imagine.
They have a good chance to win tonight.
Yeah, why not? Even with LeBron, they have a chance to win tonight.
You know, Jonathan from Tejas, who listens to every minute of the show.
Tejas.
He puts a lot of pressure on Anthony. You know what he said? Man, I absolutely cannot wait for the rejoin on this hour. Where will Anthony go? Where will he go? Will he, in fact, go the Natalie angle? Will he go the Nick angle? You know
so
what?
Much.
Rather than talk about it, why don't we just towel off?
Find out.
In a couple of minutes, we're going to find out exactly which way Anthony goes with what we call in the business the rejoin. Right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Michael K. Show.
I have to report something important here. I was just taking a shower in that beautiful bath fitter tub.
Yeah. You sounded more clean today.
You can sense it, can't you?
More cleaner.
And I was washing areas that needed to be washed. And on my inner thigh, I felt a bite of some sort. That is so big that I thought I had grown another limb.
Oh, I was going to say, it sounds like the relationship's progressing nicely.
Excuse me? Oh, but, yo, no. I didn't even get it. No, that's actually cute. No. So if you notice that I start turning into a spider as the show goes on, or a vampire, please call the authorities immediately.
The Michael K. Show.
There's nothing wrong with Spider-Man.
On 98.7 ESPN.
One word, gutless. One word, gutless. You're putting together a rejoin of what happened in that first hour, and you don't include the Natalie Imbruglio, then that is really, really a bad job by Anthony. He's afraid.
Are you calling?
I guess the content was just too hot for Anthony to include in the rejoin.
I didn't say a word.
Oh, you told him not to do it?
No, I said I didn't say a word.
Do you like me calling it the Natalie Imbruglio?
Is that like the artist Natalie Imbruglia?
Yes.
Got it. Wow. Very. I was hoping we weren't continuing from where ENN was last night.
Right.
Some of those jokes were very troubling.
No, somebody sent me a really good one afterward. There's a after the season, there's going to be a little bit of a one-on-one game between Brian Scalabrine and Bradley Beal. It's going to be called Beal-Scalabrine, the matchup. So that's going to be fun.
And it continues.
Now, you guys always joke, but I love sports. I really do. I love everything about sports. I love the reality show quality, because most reality shows are trash and they're not real anyway. This is real. This is really going on. But I've got to ask you both, and I want you to be honest, and don't just take the side that you think that I'm against. The NFL is building up their schedule release tomorrow as if it's like, whoa, my goodness, what a big deal. We know every single team that every single team is going to play. We just don't know the order in which they're going to play them. Correct. Are you guys like sitting on the edge of your seat about the release of the NFL schedule tomorrow?
Well, not sitting at the edge of my seat, but I think it's segment worthy tomorrow because – as a fan, I do still get excited to find out how many times the Giants will be on prime time. There's a very good possibility the Jets will have a London game, and who will that be, and when in the season will it be? You've got people like Andrew that now that the pandemic is kind of winding to a respectable level that can maybe start making trips again. So there's a lot of aspects that really intrigue people, even though you know the teams that they're going to play,
right?
The when and the where and all that is still very, very intriguing.
It does show you the brilliance of the NFL, though. They can market anything and make it seem important. And the networks, you know, play along with it. Now, you say it's a segment tomorrow. It's really not. So the NFL on Fox and Friends in the morning tomorrow on Fox News is going to announce week one. The entire schedule is not going to be announced until 8 p.m. when we're off the air.
Ugh.
It'll get there'll be enough leakage that we can talk about it, and then Thursday we'll do a segment on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the London thing I think is very interesting. The Jets playing in London is as a possibility, and then also, you know, what the Thanksgiving games are going to be. So there's enough there, right, Peter? Yeah, I think your Washington football team is going to get some love in prime time.
I care about the primetime games. I like knowing, you know, they kind of go back and forth about when the big sort of divisional matchups are. Sometimes it's week one. These days it's been week one, right? I feel like it's always now week one. It's Washington, Philadelphia, New York, Dallas, stuff like that.
I have a feeling the Giants are going to be playing Philly in week one.
That seems to be
Because of how Philly messed with them last year and then in the draft as well.
And also, Michael, you get New England-Tampa Bay this year.
Well, I didn't realize that. Oh, that'll be fun. Where's that going to be, though?
I don't know. But, you know, if the Jets are playing the Falcons, I know that. Then that means the East is playing the South. So they'll play – New England will play Tampa. And you know that probably is a primetime game, right? I don't know if he's returning to New England. I'd have to see. But
now, okay, let's play this game. They return to New England. He runs out of the tunnel at the beginning of the game. Cheered or booed?
Cheered.
Booed.
I think he's cheered. I think he's cheered. He's never said anything against New England. He's never even said anything against Belichick. Oh, it's in New England, Andrew tells me.
Then that's so it.
I think he's going to be cheered.
That's a Sunday night game. I think he's going to get cheered because does any New England Patriot fan feels like they were robbed of a championship because he left? I don't think it was working there in New England anymore, right? Can they have that transference of, well, what he did in Tampa, he would have done here? No, I think they're disappointed that he left and probably blame Bill, but I don't think they boo him.
Well, they would have been better with him.
Yeah, but I don't think they would have. You know, what he did in Tampa, I don't think he would have done in New England. You saw the way it ended in New England. He wouldn't have had that same talent. And you figure the same guys would have opted out because of COVID. Right. I think they would have been better, or maybe they would have snuck into the playoffs. They weren't making any kind of run.
I just saw a note that positive COVID in New York is down 80% in the last 4 weeks.
Well, it shows the vaccines are working, right?
Yeah.
I guess that's... That's the hope.
Now, is this Andrew? Is this your take or Anthony's take on my? This is what Andrew just wrote on the screen. If a Patriots fan boos Tom Brady, they should never be allowed inside of Gillette Stadium ever again.
I feel that.
Oh, come on.
But no, but you said it was okay to boo Francisco Lindor.
Who, me?
Not you, Don. He said.
No, but I I'm not going to sit. I would be curious to know why they would boo somebody that gave them six championships.
Because he did leave. I don't think he's going to be booed either. He left six championships. But he left.
Leaving six championships.
I get it, but he left more on the table. They might think.
I don't. I don't believe that.
What you have to believe? You don't think they could have done it again at some point?
They certainly weren't trending in that direction, were they?
Well, but they made the playoffs a year before, didn't they?
Yeah, but you saw.
And last year they were what? A couple of bounces. They end up with a wild card, and they had Cam Newton, who was terrible last year.
I don't think they were winning the Super Bowl last year. Okay.
I don't know. Evidence suggests that it's possible.
I don't know if Gronk was coming out of retirement to go to New England. I don't know if Antonio Brown was going to go. I know for a fact he wasn't going back to New England last year. All right? So I think they might have won a couple of more games and maybe snuck into the playoffs. But whatever. They won six championships. Again, you have the right to do whatever you want. But how would you look at Tom Brady, who literally put your franchise on the map? What were the Patriots before he got there, right?
Garbage.
Bill Parcells got him to a Super Bowl and lost. Before that, they went to the Super Bowl, got killed by the Bears. They were the fourth team in the Boston area. And then all of a sudden, they become this super team where there's like Patriot fans everywhere.
True.
The team on the map. I can't imagine that your guttural response to him returning would be booing. That would surprise me.
But
again,
at the same
right
time,
to do it. But can't compare it to Lindor.
But I also can't go with Andrew either, just because like that you should never be welcome there again. I know he's somewhat joking, but the fact is, depending on where your season is at that point, he comes in now as the Super Bowl champion of another team. While you may love him and respect him greatly, and when the career ends, he'll always be a Patriot. I can understand why in the moment, an important game maybe for your team, you would boo him coming back.
All right, here's a bit more of a fun question. I don't think the Jets are playing the Panthers this year, right?
Yeah, they are.
They are playing the Panthers.
Is that going to be at MetLife?
I don't know the answer to that.
All right, so let's say it's at MetLife. Darnold cheered or booed?
Cheered. Definitely not booed.
I don't think he gets booed. But I think the reaction, believe it or not, might be based on how the team is doing and how Zach Wilson's doing. If it's a Week 10 matchup and the Jets are 0-9 and Wilson looks completely lost, I can see the New York and everybody kind of cheering Sam's return. If the Jets are playing, I really don't.
Andrew tells me it's in Charlotte.
Yeah. So I can't imagine you'd boo him. I mean, really. I mean, you could say that he hadn't played well, but he was such a good kid and said all the right things.
That's the thing. It's almost an impossible spot to boo him in.
You know, who's one of the great apologists ever for Sam?
Don.
Worse than Don, Peter.
Just kidding. Yeah. Who?
Is Wischusen. Oh, my goodness. Now, he was on with Carlin today, another instance of Carlin stealing money, because when you're on with Bob, there's not much to talk.
It's a great point. You can
not
just lay
out.
Not
much room. Yeah. It's almost like working with Don. It's just lay out. Set him up. Go. And he was singing the praises of Sam. He said Sam is on the first play from scrimmage. He's going to throw a 3-yard out to Christian McCaffrey, who's going to break it for 80 yards and a touchdown. He's going to look at his stat sheet and go, wow, this never happened with the Jets.
Well, that would be true.
I mean, that's a factual statement.
I mean, I don't know what the yards after catch average was while Sam was quarterback, but I mean, no one made life easy for Sam.
The yak for the Jets under Sam Darnold made fans yak.
It was somehow
negative.
Somehow they managed to get Le'Veon Bell, and it literally crushed Le'Veon Bell.
He never was good again. Career, basically.
I had only seen Le'Veon Bell be awesome every time I'd ever watched him play until the second he put on green and white. And I know he'd taken a year off, but Don, did he get injured when he was off? I don't. He came back and couldn't play.
Yeah, just it was bad. It was bad. So you got a lot of it. Again, that's intriguing, right? When's that game get played? And memo to the NFL, because I don't know what the Patriots are going to be this year. I don't think anybody really knows 100% like how good they're going to be. Make that matchup as early as possible, right? Because or do you just going to just assume both teams are going to be great and you could throw that matchup post week 10? You know, can you make it the Thanksgiving
what
third
matchup
game?
You talking about?
Buccaneers, Patriots? Or do you want to try to make that early?
I bet it's week one.
Isn't great.
I think it's got to be week one when you have a 45-year-old quarterback.
Not only that, you
don't know if he's going to last.
Well, first of all, the Super Bowl champion always plays that Thursday night, right?
Good point by you.
So Tampa Bay is playing opening night. Why would you not make it that game?
With Breeze gone, right? Think about it. With Breeze gone, that should be the Thursday opener. If defending Super Bowl champions going up against his old team, who else could you put the Buccaneers up against?
No, that's a marquee matchup.
I bet it's that, unless I don't think they play the Packers this year, because that's always an appealing game, right? Brady Rodgers would always be something.
But it might not be Rodgers.
It might not be Rodgers.
No.
It'd be Brady
Love. Do you want to take the chance that it's not? You know.
And did you guys see – I'll get to it in ENM, but did you see the quotes from Devontae Adams yesterday?
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't a bad guy about it. He was like, hey, I'm not saying I would leave, but I'm not going to lie. Obviously, it's going to affect my thinking losing Aaron Rodgers, which you really can't blame him for.
So your friend on Twitter, Peter, what's going down on TMKS ESPN? I missed it. That was Miss Hatton. So she sees things are happening, Peter.
Well, there's something going on for sure.
Yeah. And then some tattletale troll said, Michael K. looked at your Instagram page, was making a big deal about what you look like, more than the amazing pictures that you have taken.
No, really, that happened?
I mean, if you want to applaud him for being deadly accurate, other than that, I
yeah, by the way, that guy should be up your alley. He's narcomania like you.
I never got the narcomania. We're saying it on the air. Like the whole idea is to hope as many people heard it as possible. I never understood the whole, like ratting us out. He said it.
David Amandi said on Twitter, it can't be the Thursday night game because the champions always host the opener. They're not going to put them on the road the first game of the year.
Oh, and it's in New England.
Why do they always have to host it, though? What, because of the raising of the banner? This is too good. If the Buccaneers are going to give me a better matchup, certainly not going to be anybody else out of the NFC East. I mean, I guess, Bills Buccaneers would be okay, but Bills Patriots to me, are you going to let that be the hang up? Is there anything in the contract that says they have to be home?
Let me tell you what, Don. The NFL makes rules the way they want to make rules. Rules could be changed in an instant.
No, I think the idea of getting the Super Bowl champion on opening night at home is the whole pomp and circumstance of their first home game since the championship, the raising of the banner, and all that. But this is just too juicy. Tom Brady returning to New England, the first chance that they get. Because you take chances, right? Brady never really gets hurt, but why would you take any kind of a chance of having it deeper in the season when maybe neither team's that great? Maybe
and
Tom
injuries.
Brady gets hurt.
Yeah.
But it really should be the Thursday game.
Well, we'll find out. Well, we'll find out before we get on the air, because they're releasing the first week on Fox and Friends, so we'll know if it's a first week game. After that, it's supposed to be. But strangely though, why does Andrew know everything? Andrew's telling me where they're playing and the whole deal.
No, because
all of that is known. The only things that aren't known are when they'll be and what games are on national TV. But everything else is known.
Gotcha. Well, you know what else is not known, Andrew? Why Anthony chose to do the rejoin like that? Did you give him orders not to do it?
I did not. Now, we still have two rejoins left, so who's to say if it's...
No. A rejoin is supposed to be what happened in the previous hour. You can't go back to it.
Is this a rule?
That. Yeah,
is this the NFL rule. The Super Bowl team's got to be home on the Thursday game?
Yes. Yes. Exactly like that. Now, let's go to... I don't know how to pronounce his name. How do you pronounce this, Andrew?
I assume you're talking about Svi.
All right, let's go to Svi in Muncie. What's up, Svi?
Svi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Love the show. You guys make my day every day at 2 o'clock.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, if any New England fan even thinks about booing Tom Brady, the guy should be banned from being an NFL fan. This guy's been there for 20 years. Whenever he's completed a season, they've never missed the playoffs. He's won them 6 titles. And you would even think about booing him? I'm a Giants fan. For the last 10 years, we made the playoffs once since the Super Bowl. How dare a Patriot fan even think about booing him?
Would you even consider booing Eli, who was no Tom Brady but very
never.
Good?
Never.
And you would okay.
Never. The guy won two titles there. How do you boo a guy like that?
But here's the difference, V. Okay, Eli retired as a Giant. Tom Brady decided to go somewhere else. So I don't think he's going to be booed. Don doesn't think he's going to be booed.
No.
But I don't think it's that outrageous to think that that will rub some fans the wrong way. He left. He could have stayed. He wanted a new challenge. I don't blame him. He has every right. He was a free agent. He played out his contract. I have respect for what Brady did. I don't have respect for what Rodgers is doing. None. But if you're a New England fan and you saw the way the season went down last year, you could be ticked off. You could forget about the six championships for a moment and go, you're going to leave us? So that would be the thinking why they would be booed. I don't think it's that outrageous.
Now, a lot of people are sending this on Twitter. Here are the home games for the Buccaneers if they have to adhere to this Super Bowl champion playing at home on opening day.
Okay.
Atlanta, Carolina, New Orleans, Dallas, Giants, Bills, Dolphins, Bears. So Cowboys obviously would be the bet, right?
Well, no, Brady, Giants would be interesting. He can never beat the Giants.
Yeah, but Cowboys are also a tremendous draw. If you're looking for just the sheer ratings of it, they can't go wrong with the Cowboys. Giants would get a good rating too because it's New York, but you know, the Giants were, you know, not great. They can't go wrong with either of the two, but I would think they would of those teams they would pick Dallas. But I would think outside the box and just go with New England.
But then you got to fight Fox that has the NFC package. Well, you're taking Dallas away from us, so I mean it's all political too, because that first game's on NBC.
True, but I don't think they have a say. NBC picks what they want to pick, right?
No, I don't think. No, NBC doesn't pick.
Well, the NFL
picks, yeah.
Right, well, but for NBC for nice that
to,
game.
Right, but the NFL has to make nice to Fox too. They're all partners in this.
I know, but if the Cowboys ever won a Super Bowl, they would play on Thursday. They're going to play. NBC is going to get Dallas games unless Dallas is god awful, right? So at some point, so they're going to get their couple of games. So you get it out of the way early. I mean, right? Dallas is still going to be taken by NBC. It could be flexed. So Fox is going to lose Dallas multiple times during the course of the year.
Mm-hmm. They always do.
You know, so. Again, unless Dallas has got awful, they're going to be taken and possibly flexed. So if they go by the sheer attractiveness, it should be Patriots and Bucks. If this is like set in stone that the Super Bowl champion has to play at home, then I would think it'd be Dallas.
Go to Daniel in Union. Daniel.
Daniel.
Hey, guys, what's up?
How you doing?
Good. So that last caller prompted me to call. And, Michael, I think you're right. If someone is competing against you, you have every right to boo them. I don't care what Tom Brady did. I don't care if he drove the Mayflower. He left. He's a traitor. He's a villain. Now the Patriots fans deserve to boo him. He's competing against you. I mean, what a ridiculous statement.
I'm not saying you got to cheer for him during the game, but when he gets introduced and jogs out on the field, you're going to be compelled to boo him?
Yeah.
He won six championships because of him.
Animals. Everybody who's not on my team is a gutless animal. That's how I view it.
Well, that's just a weird way of life, man.
I love how Daniel
feels. I understand.
Let the sun hit your face. Enjoy life. Breathe it in, buddy.
I have the perfect comparison.
Okay.
Francesa was the Tom Brady of WFAN. But we didn't cheer for him when he competed. Or ESPN, sorry. He wasn't the – we didn't cheer for him when he left. We went for the Michael Kay show.
Right.
I'm not understanding that.
Yeah, I hear what he's saying. It didn't work, but
– No, the analogy doesn't work. I mean,
No, it doesn't work at all.
First of all, this isn't the New York Yankees, okay? This isn't the Boston Celtics, the Montreal Canadiens. This is the New England Patriots, who had not won a championship before Brady had gotten there.
They were worthless.
Two Super Bowl appearances, lost them both. And I'm telling you, they're one of the rare teams on this planet Earth where football was the fourth sport in Boston. Patriots are fourth.
Clearly
fourth, all right? Tom Brady comes, and now they're one of the national teams, even after he's gone.
He put you on the map, not to mention the six championships in doing so and the countless big games that you played in. And just because he happens to be competing against you for one day, he's a filthy animal you're going to poo?
Well, I respect
that's
it.
That's odd.
I respect it, but it is crazy.
Right? No, I respect the right to do it. I just don't know why you would be compelled that would be the function of your body at that moment with all that he had done for you, that that's what would come out, a boo.
Now, this is not even a parallel in terms of the contributions, but I've told the story before. It helped me get the TV job at Yes. I said this on the radio. Jeff Nelson left the Yankees after 2001. They didn't want him back. He either retires or plays somewhere else. So he signed back with Seattle. And he comes jogging in from the bullpen the first time the Mariners are in town in 2002. And the crowd, after this guy played a significant role in getting them four titles, booed him like I've never heard somebody booed before. And it's not like he chose to go to Seattle like Tom Brady chose to go to Tampa Bay. He could have returned to New England. Jeff Nelson was either going to retire or play somewhere else because the Yankees didn't want him back, and he got booed. So that's the way fans think. It's not Tom Brady. I understand Tom Brady changed football
right.
in New England. So did Bill Belichick. But he did leave, Don, on his own volition. He wasn't forced out. That's a variable. I think he's going to be cheered. But once the game starts, he's going to be booed.
Well, no, of course. I'm not saying you got to pull a Knicks and Jordan's last game and like cheer for every bucket that he made. Or no, you're rooting. Listen, we're talking about the opening introductions. He jogs out, gets cheered. But once the game starts, you cheer every interception, every sack, and you boo every time he throws a touchdown pass, of course. But that first moment,
I know,
you got to show the appreciation, man. He did more for one franchise than we've seen since Jordan.
I have a good do you boo question for Don.
Oh, I love
I
a do you boo.
Brilliant.
All right.
But we'll do it when we get back.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's. I don't even know how he's going to answer. These are the questions I like because I don't know, and I know the mind of Don better than anybody, Nancy. I don't know what he's going to answer. That's coming up in a moment. The K-Show on 98.7 ESPN brought to you by GEICO. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. Also, the kind of service you get. Good thing GEICO's been perfecting both for over 75 years. It's Kayla Greco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
All right, I'm disappointed. I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of like had the air taken out of the balloon.
Whoa.
What do you mean?
Woj has announced that LeBron's giving his ankle one more day. He will not play against the Knicks tonight.
All right.
That's interesting. So, what, they're a game and a half out of six, right?
Right.
So, time's running out. So, he's not ready. This is not, you know, giving it one more day. He needs that one day because they need this game.
Let's see. Yeah, they're a game and a half out of six, correct. They're
all
sitting
right,
in
the
seven.
Loss?
And they also, what's the loss column situation?
They're one in the loss column behind Portland.
Well, so then they're two out because Portland has a tiebreaker, I think.
Right. And they can only have, what, four games left?
There's four games left. Three for Portland.
So he just can't go. This is not resting. This is not, oh, we can beat the Knicks without him. He can't go. Right? Mm-hmm. Why would you take the chance? They lose tonight. Now you got, what, three games left to be able to make up two? You're putting yourself in a lot of trouble. Even winning tonight's not guaranteeing you anything, but at least it helps.
All right, so here's the boo question. So the Mets are playing the Orioles a two-game set, and the Mets don't catch a break because they're going to face John Means today. And look at Means' numbers. He just came off essentially a perfect game. By the way, I have the Met lineup here. Let me give it to you.
I love the Met lineup.
McNeil at second, Lindor at short, Conforto in right, Alonso at first, cleaning up, Pilar in left, VR at third. McCann will catch, Almora in center, and Stroman's on the mound. Dom Smith not playing against the left-hander John Means. Tomorrow, they face Matt Harvey. When Matt Harvey takes the field, Don, will he be cheered at Citi Field or not? When he breathes like that, it's not easy for him either, Peter.
Now, this is coming from somebody that never booed anybody, so I'm not speaking for myself. I'm now trying to predict the Met fan.
Right.
That's your job.
It's what he does.
I think he gets cheered. And the reason I say that is because he did a lot of great things here. Started the All-Star game in 2013, on that World Series team in 2015.
Sacrificed his body for that team.
He did. And also, his downfall here were the injuries that were not his fault. He didn't orchestrate his out. Now, was he a nozzle at times? Sure. But I think the positives outweigh the negatives. It was a lot of fun while he was here. I'd say he would get cheered.
I tend to agree. I tend to agree, but I'm not certain.
Now, would I be floored if they booed him, Michael? I would not be floored.
Well, what would they be booing? Let's talk this through. What exactly would they be booing? The fact that his career didn't go the way they had hoped? Because, again, he didn't leave on his own. They traded him.
I think it also probably helps the likelihood of him being cheered that his career since has been a disaster. If he had gone on and been dominant elsewhere, I think there's a chance he gets booed.
I just think ultimately, let's be honest, Michael, there's not a lot of success. Like, if you're a Met fan, you know, the team's only gone to the World Series, what, 69, 73, 86, 2000, and 2015, right? Five times.
Yep.
So it's not a lot of heavy lifting to appreciate those teams and the players that were on those teams. They kind of become like forever to Met fans. And that 2015 was like a surprise team, right? And he was a part of that. And starting the All-Star game at Citi Field, Harvey Day, that was all a big deal. And the reason it didn't work out was not anything negative that he did, although, again, he did some things that were troublesome. You know, not showing up late for that workout in the playoffs, and there was some allegations that he kind of created a divide in that room, not talking to the media. But those are little silly things. But at the end of the day, he pitched some huge games for this team, the playoff game against the Cubs, demanding to go back out there and perform when everybody in the world wanted him to in that World Series game, to the starting the All-Star game at Citi Field, which was a big deal at the time. We were there, Michael. That was a huge deal. That's what's going to shine through, and that's what's going to get fans to cheer.
And what people should also remember, I just mentioned it in passing, he sacrificed his future pitching in that stretch run. Remember, Scott Boras, his agent, came out and said, no, the Mets have to hold him to the – he's come back from Tommy John surgery. He blew through that, blew through it, and then pitched in the postseason where the Mets made a ridiculous statement, and the Yankees have said the same thing, and I laugh at it all the time. Well, the innings in the postseason don't count. Really? They count. They should count double what they would count because of the stress and the high-leverage situation you're pitching in. He blew through it. The next year, the thoracic outlet syndrome, he's never been the same. He's learned how to pitch. He pitched well against the Yankees. He's got an ERA in the threes right now for the Orioles. So maybe he's found something and is going to have a second chance at a little less dominant career. But I think he's going to get cheered. I think they should cheer him. I really do. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go to Sal on Long Island. Sal.
Hey, Michael, Dom, Peter, how are you guys doing today?
Sal.
How are you?
Listen, I'd like to throw my two cents in about the NFL. You know, I always tell you how I'm an old guy. Well, I remember when it was 12 games. Then when it went to 14, I was, whoa. Then when they made it 16, I almost had a heart attack. Now we're going with 17? What are we going to get to, 20 soon?
Someday.
And the other thing I want to say about Aaron Rodgers, Michael,
yep.
I don't know if this guy cares anymore. I think he's got the Hollywood bug now. With the Jeopardy thing and dating this actress, or he's getting married. I think this guy's in love with California. What do you think?
I don't think
and,
it's
one
that.
More thing. One more thing I'll interrupt you, Michael, before, and then I'll let you go. Peter, I just want to let you know, I'm into photography and helicopters all of a sudden at 66 years old. All right,
wow,
Michael.
Wow, look at that. Good job, Sal.
All of a sudden.
Yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's certainly did make things more comfortable.
Encouraging creeps around the globe. Good job, Michael.
I pay a compliment, and then you're going to rip me?
I didn't rip you.
Compliment. You said I encourage creeps around the globe. That's not exactly a Hosanna.
No, but it's just pointing out a fact.
I don't think he meant to do it.
Right, but you did.
But it happened.
Sorry doesn't fix the lamp. And you didn't even say sorry, so.
I'm not sorry. I'm not sorry a bit. I'm not even, I would never say sorry for that. I didn't break into some account. I didn't have a hacker get into some account. The account's free. It's there for me to look at. I looked. Sorry.
What was his take on Dave back in the day? Do we remember?
Harsh. Strong.
No. First of all, if Miss Hatton came on the show, I wouldn't be, Larry Lear. But I'm just saying that the pictures are very attractive pictures. That's all. That's not. Dave is terrible what he did. Dave should be almost institutionalized for what he did. To somebody who works in our company, too.
Oh, don't try it.
Oh, tell you what, Michael.
What?
Those hamstrings are going to be burning during the game tonight.
Jorge in California. Who do you want to have storm the field today?
You guys are too much. I just wanted to give you some correct information because somebody on Twitter gave you some incorrect information. The year after the Ravens won the Super Bowl, they started the next season against the Broncos in Denver. I remember that because I'm a Broncos fan, and we blew them out.
Well, there you go. Then that's it. Then that's done.
Well, not so fast. Uh-oh. So I looked it up, and there was a reason for this. The Ravens and Orioles share a parking lot, and there was a conflict that night with the Orioles having a home game, so the Ravens had to open up on the road.
Look at that,
good job. But the point is, it can be moved. It can be changed. And this is just too good, right? It's too good.
Can I get one more thing in?
Yeah, sure.
Go ahead. You're there.
Civil unrest. What do you got?
Thank you. So I'm just going to live with me forever. So with Aaron Rodgers and wherever he gets traded to, this new flex schedule for Monday Night Football starting after Week 12 is going to be really interesting because I don't know how the schedule is going to look like tomorrow, but if he goes to Denver or Las Vegas or something, they're most likely going to get flexed a lot to Monday night or Sunday night. So it's going to be a very interesting season, and I do see the schedule changing a little bit.
I would think that, it's in about time. Let's put it that way. ESPN always got Rook on their schedule, and now finally they extracted a Super Bowl out of it because they paid the most money, and now they're going to get a chance to flex a little bit too. That's important.
No, it is, because that's the big deal, right? Because how many times, as great as the product is, you get stuck with a dog? Bunch of injuries, teams are out of it late in the season. Now you know that you're going to get a quality game no matter what on Monday night with our guy calling it, Steve Levy.
That's right. Coming back for year two, baby. 1-800-919-3776. That's the number. Got a lot of stuff to talk about. We haven't even talked about Yankees Rays yet. Oh, yeah. That's going to be in the wheelhouse, too. It's Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you right here on YES and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.